Welcome to JasonCable.com's GLBT podcast. For more information on the show, of course, go to JasonCable.com. And also don't forget to send us feedback so we can include it on the show. We have two phone calls and some feedback from the feedback form on the website under Contact Us. So check it out. And here's our first call.
Hello, Jason. I'm a regular listener to your show, and I have been actually following the presidential race as close as I can. I recently saw on CNN John McCain was talking somewhere, and he was speaking about nuclear power, and he also said that the number one threat to the United States is a nuclear attack by terrorists or maybe another country. And not long ago, I actually saw this program on Discovery Channel that they were talking about the top 10 threats to the world. And actually, nuclear war was one of those threats, but it wasn't number one threat. According to them, the number one threat to humanity is climate change. And they actually had Al Gore invited on the program, and he was explaining that the reason for climate change being the number one threat is that it's going on right now, and very soon it could get out of control. Now, my question to you is, do you think that maybe in the next 2 to 4 years or whatever, whoever the president may be, do you think that America will come up with a solution for this problem? And maybe the government will get behind or will get past lobbyists from oil companies and past special interests to come up with a reliable legislator to allow for investment in cheap, sustainable, and clean energy for buildings, cars, and transportation. I know that Hillary Clinton, she has a good plan on investing in green-collar jobs, but I wanted to know your opinion on these issues. Thank you, and I'll be waiting for a response in your blog or podcast. Good night.
Well, thank you for that call. Definitely very interesting, and a few topics we should probably talk about. You know, do I think the United States' worst available problem is attack by a nuclear warhead? You know, I don't know. And I don't know if anyone really knows. Let's face it, we're speculating at the best. I hope it isn't, because that would be a very bad thing. One thing we should probably look at even more than that would be the stockpile of nuclear weapons that, say, Russia and the United States have that are degrading and no one's cleaning up. Mostly because I don't even know if we know how to clean things up like that. But as for energy independence, you know, I don't know if we're going to see anything in the next few years on that. I think it's going to have to be consumer driven. I think there's going to have to be a massive effort by the gentry, if you will, by the everyday ordinary people in the United States, also called citizens, and in response to these horrific gas prices. I don't think we're going to see any companies really move toward quote unquote energy independence or alternative sources of energy until we get our asses in gear. And I'm honestly not one to do that because I don't know shit about it. So let's keep Al Gore on his merry little way. And, you know, whether global warming is happening or not, I don't know. The evidence that I've seen seems to suggest it. Of course, there's an equal mountain of evidence to the contrary. I think we are fucking up the planet. I think we're doing a very good job at that. There are certain things we can do to help mitigate some of these things, like do global recycling in the United States, require higher gas mileage cars, much further ahead, things we can do to help our planet and to help save our futures. We're running out of space. We're running out of resources. We're all these things. People are living a lot longer nowadays. We have modern medicine to thank for that. We have just knowledge and power and all this stuff. And, this planet may see some, I hate to say this, but population corrections. You know, I mean, this earthquake in China is a damn good example. 80,000 people or so gone. But the oil prices are very disconcerting right now. The price of oil has literally doubled in the last year. May 31st, a year ago, gas price, or the price of a barrel of light sweet crude, and that's what we talk about when we say oil prices, the price for a barrel was $64. It's now over $135. It's disgusting. In 1999, for instance, we were paying, actually in early May of 1999, we were paying 99 cents a gallon for gasoline. Now that 99 cents was a momentary dip and it didn't last too damn long, but it happened. So how much has the world changed since then, and how much of this has been caused by our involvement in these wars in the Middle East? These are all good questions that need asked, they need answered, and for some of them, you're not going to get a straightforward answer from any politician, mostly because they spend most of their time kissing babies' asses and fucking their interns. And I'm not just talking about Democrats here. I'm, excuse me, the Republicans fuck little page boys. Yeah, there's a big difference. And they're still allowed to be in Congress. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. Let's go to the next call, shall we?
Hi, Jason. My name is Angel. I'm 21 years old, live in Chicago. I just recently, like within the last 2 weeks, started listening to your podcast because I just now got something to listen to it on. I was wondering if you ever did a show on abusive relationships in the gay community.
Thank you for that call. I really appreciate calls like this. Something different. We have not done a show on rape. Although I think it is a certainly worthwhile topic, not just rape, but any type of abuse in GLBT relationships. So really, we need to cover a few things: rape, abusive GLBT relationships, because I do think that male-male and female-female relationships do differ quite significantly from male-female relationships. We're not just talking about having quote-unquote battered wives. I'm sure it goes a lot farther. And I will take a look into see what kind of information I can find. If anyone has been in an abusive relationship and they're willing to share their story, if you're comfortable with it, please send it along. It's not my job to exploit you here. It's my job to present the information and to help other people, as we'll see. I also want to cover, I would like to cover some other topics like prison lifestyle and the perceived homosexuality of inmates, even though they're not gay. So, yeah, there are lots of things I think we can cover. It's just getting the information. And unfortunately, in a lot of these cases, we just don't have, or it's not available to me, this information. Of course, I would love to see it. So there we go. So here's a letter from a listener. Now, please forgive me for those of you whose letters I have not read on the air. Trust me, I have read them behind the scenes. Let's face it. I'm a fucking mess between depression and all of those issues, and changing jobs and all this stuff. I don't always get to do what I want to do. That's why we have the long gaps between podcasts. But this month I'm trying to get to 150, number 150 episodes by our third year anniversary. So we've got a few more weeks. We're getting there. It's 143. So this is from message was from Brian. He's in, I'll just read it. Hi, my name's Brian and I'm 16 years old. I was kind of outed recently and feel now like I don't belong. It really sucks, but enough of that. I really wanted to talk about your latest podcast. It's a one entitled Focus on Our Family. I think it's really great that there's a bill like that in Colorado that I talked about in, I think it's podcast 142, talks about a bill that was passed through the Colorado legislature to grant equal access and rights to GLBT, including transgendered folks, to public accommodations. I think it's great. And Brian goes on. I live in Nebraska, and I'm not aware of anything like that over here. It's really hard for me out here. Being gay is something that I'm almost afraid of. Most people are nice, but there is a certain undercurrent of hate and fear. I think that the attitude around here is that if you're gay, you're worse than the devil himself. One of my friends at school had announced one day that she thought gays are evil, and I felt really betrayed. I can't understand why all these people that I've grown up with feel like that. I really don't know any other people like me. I can't even say that I know anyone at all, because I live in the middle of nowhere, and it's a good 30-minute drive to reach the nearest town. I find it hard to learn about the so-called gay culture, but luckily I have the internet and your podcasts. Thank you for all your hard work and dedication. Now, there are a lot of good resources out on the internet now. There weren't when I was coming out, and especially when I was growing up. I mean, really, I first thought or felt that I was gay, that I was attracted to men at about age 13. So, back in 1993, no internet. I didn't have access to anything like that. And what was out there was shit. Let's face it. I started at the internet provider in 96. So internet came to town September of 95. That's how rural we were. We didn't even have dial up local number for AOL or Prodigy or CompuServe or any of those. That was life. So, I didn't get access to good information until actually years later. So at age 16, got the internet. I was living under my parents' roof. I had a mother who, thank God, didn't know too much about computers or the internet. So I used to have to remember to clear my browser cache, and I kept my dirty pictures on a floppy disk. The pictures I had downloaded from certain news groups like alt.binaries.gay.mail. And I would look at these and sometimes print them out and jerk off to them. And, I never told anyone that stuff before. So that was at 16. And I was still trying to convince myself that I was straight. And I was doing that up until age 19. So from age 13 to 19, I had no real mentors. We knew who every gay person in town was. There were about 6 gay people in town. And they were all viewed as social deviants, as weirdos, as freaks. Rumor has it that in my hometown of Warren, Pennsylvania, they drove out a pediatrician who happened to be a lesbian. And she, I do remember that there was a pediatrician who was a female in Warren Pediatrics, and she was only there for a few months. So she was from Texas, I believe. So whether she was a lesbian or not, that's for the elders of the town to tell. So I grew up in a town of back then 14,000 people, not too small, but very small. The nearest large town, well, we were about half an hour drive from Jamestown, New York. That was pretty, I mean, that was the big time. That's where the department stores were. And then we were about an hour 15 minutes from Erie. Thriving gay population there. Not to mention 3 hours from Buffalo, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. So what did we do? I mean, I felt so alone and isolated too. And a lot of people have. I mean, we had the story, ages ago on the podcast, of the guy in China. In China. Who, the thing I remember about his letter was that it was such a familial obligation to him to be straight and to follow in the traditions of his people, and that would be getting married and having children and having your extended family live with you. At least I think extended families live with whatever. You get the point. So yeah, it's difficult anywhere where you're not in contact with others of the gay persuasion. Now, me getting into the gay culture was quite interesting. My first time at a gay bar. I've also never told this story. Oh God, it's kind of embarrassing. But, this is how it was for me. And so actually this would be my second time at a gay bar. So I was in Pittsburgh. Well, I had my first sexual experience at 19, at the very end of my first year at college. Most of you already know that. And afterwards, he left. It was the last day of classes. I was 160 pounds at the time. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to McDonald's. And on my way walking to McDonald's, you have to realize now that in a town of 3,000, McDonald's is a big attraction. So I was on my way walking to McDonald's. I'm like, oh, I think I might be gay. Literally, I said that to myself. I don't remember now if I actually said it out loud. I know I said it to myself. Well, oh, I must be gay. Just like that. So, Brian, you're actually ahead of yourself. Yes, there are a lot of people who feel this way about us. And learning about the gay culture was difficult. I didn't have access to a lot of things. The internet-based resources sucked at the time. Buying gay books, maybe it didn't enter into my mind. Maybe I thought, the best source of finding these books was at your local Barnes & Noble or Borders. I was introduced to the national news magazine, The Advocate. Sorry, I'm stumbling here. And things like that. So, I read The Advocate and, they fluff things up. My first best view at the gay lifestyle without having gay friends, as I did not, was the TV show Queer as Folk. Seriously, it validated me as a gay male and broke down a lot of those internal barriers I had. I mean, when I first came out, I had barriers to things like anal sex. Oh my God, I thought it was like dirty and disgusting and ooh, how could someone do that? Seriously, that was my rational sense. Ooh, how could someone do that? Now, a lot of you will be laughing, so give you time to laugh. Yeah. And of course, since I've come to embrace it, and this was before the wonderful book, The Ultimate Guide. I might be wrong on the title, something like The Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Men was out. It wasn't published then. I believe the female book was out I know the female book was out first and it may have been around, but Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Men. So the free resources out there sucked. I had always been shy, so I was afraid to even talk to people. And yeah, my second time at a gay bar was in Long Island. I just thought, hell, I'm going to go one night to a gay bar. Because I guess I had just turned 21, so I could legally drink. So, yeah, it was my first time at a gay bar was in Pittsburgh. It was a Pegasus, of course, which is 18 and over. For those of you who know it, it's a real shithole, but serves the point. And, sorry. Yeah. Actually, my first time at a gay bar, now this is going into the whole gay culture thing. I was on a date, right? And at the end of our first date with this guy, first of all, he lied about his weight, which pissed me off. You know, the internet weight thing. And, yeah, we met on the net. And after, I think, the first date, I kissed him, and he's like, oh, well, you kiss better than what it looks like people kiss like in the movies. So I'm like, well, I'm like, yeah. So we ended up going to the gay bar one night. My second time at a gay bar was in Long Island. This is a very embarrassing story. That's why I keep hemming and hawing around it. So I was in Long Island. I guess I had just turned 21. I don't remember the name of the place, but because the name of this fucking bar changed every 20 seconds. And on my way, now I went in, they had two different dance floors. It was on 25A between Smithtown and Comac. Whatever the name, it keeps changing. It still keeps changing names. I think I'm still on their mailing list. Christ. So went in, probably got a Cosmopolitan. Either that or Rum and Coke. I might still have been on the Rum and Cokes at that point. So, get my drink and, started talking to this guy and, it's quite interesting. So he kind of lures me outside and, there's a whole bunch of cars that were no longer used. It might've been like a used car lot next door. I don't remember. All I know there was a bunch of cars that, and grass was grown between them and, he wanted me to blow him right there. So I'm like, well, let's drive. I wasn't comfortable enough doing it in public. So we drove around for a while and we couldn't find a place that was dark enough to consummate the relationship. But anyway, I really should have. It was stupid. I mean, I was just so new to things, but, My first longish term boyfriend really taught me a lot though. And you know, he taught me that, whether he knew it or not, he taught me that some things really aren't that bad, you know, like anal sex does feel good and rimming is, but these are things you have to learn. You have to experience. And it took me literally years from when I came out to myself at 19 until I was comfortable enough with, you know, the gay lifestyle, if you will. So we're talking a course of, I don't know, years. Probably from 19 to 22 or so, 23 maybe, 24, I don't know. And I'm still not comfortable in my skin. Of course, that's because of my weight, and let's not go into that. I need to find a therapist for that. Christ. So, you will learn about the quote-unquote gay culture, if you will. It is, things we do, things that we, you know, a lot of it, a lot of what I'm talking about centers around sex. Also, you know, dating. the dating issues. You know, for instance, gay men, when they go out, typically they split the check. Always. I don't know if I've ever been on a date where we didn't split the check. Maybe I was, you know, made more than the other person and was being nice. You know, that's rare. We usually split the check. So it's stuff like that. The little things. You know, I know Queer as Folk was a highly stylized, yada, 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 all five seasons of it. I didn't necessarily like the ending of the fifth season. Anyway. Yeah, it showed me that actually certain barriers, I think, come down and kept coming down. First barrier, and I saw this in a 30-year-old I dated when I was 20. You know, certain barriers come down. The barrier to sucking another man's dick. The barrier to having any type of anal sex. The barrier to getting fucked. The barrier to licking someone's ass. The barrier to going out to the gay bar. To accepting older gay folks. To accepting the fact that bisexuals do exist and they are real, and to not treat them like shit. The barrier that had to be broken for me to understand or to try to understand what transgender people go through. It's these things that really make up the gay culture, because we tend to know more about our, I hate this term, but our kind, if you will. And that's what it is all about, is knowing more about ourselves personally and knowing more about our community members and the minutia, because it really is, it's intricate details of the lifestyle, the things we get bashed for all the time. So let's go beyond that. Yes. People can think you are evil. People think you're worse than evil. People could think you're possessed. Who knows? But let me tell you something. I also spent time working through my issues with religion. And not all of us go through all these different things. A lot of us don't even think about half of this shit. It's important. I think it's very important. So, you know, take it a step at a time. Some of us do have to stay in the closet until we're past high school or college, until we're earning a lifestyle, earning a paycheck, that, and we're allowed to be gay and to have the be in the gay scene. Sometimes it takes a while, and I hate to say that, but let me tell you. By finding stuff on the net, by reading books, that's how we learn. Seriously. By listening to podcasts, hopefully of level-headed people. You know, there's some nuts out there, and there's some gay podcasts I do not like. And not just because of their content. Not just because I don't like them. Some I despise. So we're all that way. Seriously. Shy. But, yeah, you may not feel like you belong. When I first came out, I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. So I kept moving and I kept moving and I moved and I moved. Went from Warren, PA to Pittsburgh to Long Island to Jersey back to Pittsburgh. And, I know I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I'm not comfortable with my physical being, but that's a whole nother story. And in our next podcast, we will deal with homophobia. I do have some new ideas on it. So hang in there, Brian. And that's really all we can do. But just know that for as many people that hate you, there are that number of people that will love you in your life. And don't forget them, because I certainly have. and sometimes we need to reconnect with them. I will hopefully have the chance to reconnect with someone I went to high school with who seems apparently to be gay now. So things like that, you never know. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how people are going to live their lives. I mean, you could end up a top fashion designer in Manhattan for all we know. Who knows? But just try to be who you are if it is safe. And if you will not get kicked out of your house. Try to reconcile with these people. Try to maybe try to help them understand that you didn't choose this. You are gay. If I had to choose it, I wouldn't have been gay. I would have been straight. And I will admit that. Because I grew up in rural Warren, Pennsylvania, and it sucked. It really sucked for gay folks. It sucked to the point that I spent 6 years trying to convince myself that I was straight. All right? And it does suck. But whether you are out or not, at least to yourself, be yourself. Be who you are. Don't try to hide what you are to yourself. I know this sounds all a little confusing. I did that. I tried to hide my true self, my true being. And let me tell you, 6 years of trying to convince yourself that you're something different took me probably close to probably 3 to 5 years to fully accept everything. On Sirius Satellite Radio, the OutQ channel, which is the gay channel, on the show Derek and Romaine, they say the number of years it took you to come out to yourself will be the number of years it will take you past then to come out to others. And that is a decent measure. Now, for me, it was a lot different because as soon as I knew I was gay, I wanted to come out. I mean, I was bursting at the seams to come out. You're 16 and you know, God, do you know how different things probably would have been for me then? Probably would have been a lot worse back then. So that, you know, that span from 93, if I had come out at 13, I mean, in 1993, it wasn't time to come out. Let's face it, Don't Ask, Don't Tell came out that year, which, by the way, was a compromise, so shut the fuck up about it. Anyway, until next time, when we will discuss homophobia and defining homophobia and possibly defining different levels of it, I am your host, Jason Cable, saying, I fucking hate technology. All right. Oh, by the way, you know, one of the callers in their voicemail thingies, you know, mentioned that they didn't have anything to listen to a podcast on. Now, all you need is a computer. Seriously. You can go to jasoncable.com, and on the top, click on show listing. There's an entire list of all 142, now 143 episodes. You just click on it, play it, and it plays. You know, you don't need iTunes. You don't need an RSS reader. You don't need an iPod. You don't need an MP3 player. You can simply just go on the web, click play. As long as you have like Windows, anything that can play an MP3, like Windows Media Player, iTunes, or not even iTunes. You don't even need iTunes. QuickTime will do it. So, that's it. Take it easy, guys. Bye-bye.